1 today. Galatians chapter 1. Just so you guys know, if you want to read it ahead in advance, I'm going through Paul's letters chronologically, and I learned something. I love learning new things. I've always studied out the chronological order as Thessalonians being the first letter. But the more and more I look into it, the more and more I study and cross-reference, which you guys know I love to do, the more I see that I'm convinced that Galatians is probably the first one. Now, does that affect the doctrine? No. Does that affect the overall scheme of things? No. But I still like to learn, even if it's something as simple as, you know, switching the order of the epistles. And if you want to know why, I would love to talk to you after church or during the week sometime, because it's a long story. But I'm pretty convinced now that Galatians was the first epistle written. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, and praise you for being good to us today. Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunity to meet. We're thankful for our local government not enforcing silly things. Anyways, we're just thankful to be here. And thankful for you being our head. Lord, we're thankful that this body desires unity, desires to edify one another, desires to know you. And Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful for that. Lord, these are your people. This is your church, as you are our head. And Lord, right now, you know where your children are at spiritually, or emotionally, physically. Lord, I ask that you would take Galatians 1 and whatever we're going through in life circumstances, whatever's happening around us or in our lives, that you would speak to our hearts. Not just for head knowledge, that we would take the truth that's been shown to us and that we would live it out and be more conformed to your image. Lord, bless now this morning service. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot until just now, but we're going to have a praise night November 21st. It's the Saturday, 21st? It's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. The Saturday before Thanksgiving, we'll have a praise night. Our new normal now is every quarter, we're going to have a Saturday night dedicated to just praise music, congregational songs, worship songs, whatever. And I think we had about, 12 songs last time? 14 songs? Something like that. And just a wonderful night of singing and fellowship and prayer. Man, it was awesome. And it went so well that we, you know, adopted every quarter we should do that. So this next quarter, starting this new praise night, is going to be the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I think it's the 21st. I could be. Is it? Thank you. I think we were at 6 last time. Wasn't it 6, Julie? Yeah, was it 6:30, Carol? You guys figure it out and let me know. All right, Galatians chapter 1. Now, Galatians here, it got its start back in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to go there because I like to do a history. Whenever I see an epistle, I want to go in Acts and see what part did this church get founded? What happened around this church getting started? And so Paul is writing from Antioch, and he's just completing his first missionary journey. He's making his way to Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem Council there in Acts 15. And so he's writing back to the Galatians, and he is really firm with them. There's no commendation. He's not saying, good job, guys, on this. There's no prayer requests from Paul in this epistle. He's strictly saying, I am shocked at how soon you guys are moved away from salvation by grace through faith in Jesus to now saying salvation is in the law. I'm shocked that you guys saw salvation in Jesus, and now legalists come in, these Pharisee, you know, Judaizers come in and saying, well, no, salvation is in the law now. And so Paul is writing back to the Galatians to tell them that is not true. You guys know this. It is one of the clearest epistles on justification or salvation based on faith in Jesus Christ. You can't get around it. So we'll read this first part of Galatians here, and I might go into Acts. I said I would, but we'll see for sake of time. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Now, Galatia is that southern region there. It's going to have, when you see the words like Iconium, Pamphylia, Acts 13 tells us. I might have to go there to know. But there's a string of cities there that these churches are started. Galatians is a region, not a city. It's an area where there are cities in that Paul's writing to these local assemblies here. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now he's starting off with a very powerful punch. He's nailing it down right now that Jesus Christ is the one who gave himself to deliver us from this present evil age. Right? Not the law. He's already starting off with some power and might here, right? He's not holding back. He's saying, hi, we're greeting you. To the churches that are in Galatia, these handful of cities here, here's what I'm saying. It's in Christ. Christ is the one who died according to God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, let's do some cross-referencing to see where else do we see this phrase, this term, or this truth. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So we see here again, nailing down that salvation is in Jesus Christ. We see here that he might bring us to God. Now we hear this a lot, right? On what is the meaning of life? Has anybody ever heard that question before? Or like, what's the purpose of life? Why are we here? It's to know God. But to know God means you have got to know Jesus. Jesus says, if you would know me, you would know the Father. But you don't know me. We're seeing that there is a narrow way, right? And that narrow way to knowing God is accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So going back here to Galatians chapter 1. If you want to write these down, if you're taking notes, I'm not going to turn there, but if you want more cross-references, if you go to 1 John 2:2 and 1 John 3:5, it'll say the same thing on what Galatians 1:4 says here. 1 John 2:2 and 3:5. Okay, Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not a gospel. Now, we'll stop right there. Is it made clear in Scripture on what the definition of the gospel is according to what Paul's talking about right here? There are many gospels, right? When Christ in the Old Testament was on the earth, he was preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom, the millennial reign. He wasn't preaching his death and resurrection. He was preaching a different gospel, right? The gospel here is made clear to us. This gospel that Paul says is not a gospel, which gospel means what? Good news, right? Good news. What is this good news? Well, what Paul is preaching, which Ephesians clarifies, it's the mystery that was hidden in God, but it was given to Paul to illuminate to everybody else. It's made clear in 1 Corinthians 15. So in 1 Corinthians 15, if you don't know what the gospel is, according to Paul, here's what he says. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received, and in which you stand. Through it you are saved. So this gospel, it's the same gospel Paul's talking about here in Galatians. through the same gospel that they're saved and stand in Corinthians is the same thing. All right, verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, rose in the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. So when you hear gospel coming from Paul's mouth, this is what he's referring to. So in Galatians, when he's saying, "Man, I'm shocked at how quickly you guys, I was just there not too long ago, how quickly you're turning away from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for your sins to now going to the law." He says it is not a gospel. It's not a gospel. Just because someone has an idea of how to go to heaven outside of Scripture doesn't mean it's a gospel. Right? It's not a gospel. According to 1 Corinthians 15, that is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All right, back in Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6, again, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you, the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. Verse 7, which is not a gospel, but there are some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Although if we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the one which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That means to be banned or banished or excommunicated. As we said before, so I say now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than the one you have received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? For if I were still trying to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. Now he's going back a little bit to the time when he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? That the way, which he refers to in the book of Acts, the way he persecuted, correct? He was against it. He thought that salvation by grace through faith in Christ was blasphemy so much that he got letters from the priests to go kill people and put them in prison. Which that could be coming soon for us. We don't know. And now, Acts chapter 9, he gets saved. That same gospel he persecuted, now he's preaching. He's saying, listen, if I were so wanting to please men, when I please men, I persecuted those of the way that have that gospel. If I was doing that, I wouldn't be preaching this Jesus. I mean, let's think logically here, right? Let's think logically here. I would still be preaching that salvation through Christ is wrong if I was so pleasing men. Verse 13, he gets into it here. Wait, did I skip something? Where am I at, Bob? I'm at 11, thank you. But I reveal to you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, except by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and progressed in Judaism above many of my equals in my own heritage, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who set me apart since I was in my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stay with him for 15 days. We'll stop right there. So here's what happened. He's giving him a background, giving the churches that are in Galatia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Iconium, and those cities where the local people are gathering. He's writing to them. Those that have taken on so willingly, so easily a different gospel, right? Now, Thessalonica, a different church, we went over last week, in the last two weeks, they didn't do that, did they? They said a false teaching is coming in, but you're still holding on to the truth, right? You're still good to go. It's come in and you're hearing it, but you're not swayed, you're not giving in. Now, why was that? Well, according to Acts, those at Thessalonica, when they heard Paul preaching, took it as the word of God and said, like the Bereans, we're going to study this thing out. We're looking deep into this. They wanted to grow some roots into what Paul was preaching there at Thessalonica. This group heard it, believed. Paul had to go because according to Acts, they were persecuted, so he couldn't stay long. And you see the result firsthand in the book of Acts, what happens to somebody who is not grounded and founded in truth. Right? You see it. That's why we can't look at someone and go, man, if they were saved, they would. Every epistle is written to correct something that we would all say, they were saved, they would. Think about that. Paul's addressing believers who are not doing things that most people in the 21st century go, well, if they were saved, they would. Or wouldn't. Just as easy as they took the gospel of salvation by Christ, you guys just come in and they go, oh yeah, Jesus, but you got to keep the law also. Okay, we'll do that. You see the willingness and the eagerness of a young believer? Yeah, okay, sure. They're hungry for truth. They're not even thinking this doesn't sound right because they're not deep, right? They're shallow. They're babes in Christ. They're going, yay, all right. And it's really attainable because mankind in their mind likes to measure things in a system and a physical sense, right? Like, I can measure myself to that. Okay, if I do this, this, and this, I can see if I'm good or not. So the law is great for that, but it's going against what Paul was preaching. You're no longer under the law. He'll get to that here later on. I'm shocked at how fast you're moved away. Now, it tells us here that Paul... It was the background of his heritage, on how he persecuted the church. Now, we don't know how long Paul was in Arabia after he got saved. He was in Damascus. He left for Arabia, came back. So that time he was there, went away, and came back. It's 3 years, right? Then he goes to Jerusalem, talks to Peter for 15 days. He lays some things down. So Paul's learning himself and some others. Let's carry on. Verse 19, I saw no other apostles except James, Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face of the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. They had heard only, he who persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God because of me. We'll stop right there. So he travels around, goes to these other churches, right? They've never actually seen him. They've only heard of him. So when they actually see the person whom they've heard, they see he's preaching about Jesus, they don't go, you're going to be in a vetting service. You're going to be in a timeout, right? No, they glorified God, right? They glorified God. Man, thank God you're saved. We're seeing it. We're hearing it. Your life has obviously been changed by the gospel of Christ and what you now preach. Man, we're excited for you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if every born-again believer who maybe had a rough past and it was known of their rough past as, man, I am now saved. Can you imagine what it would do to them if they go, man, praise the Lord, that's exciting. With no prejudice on, we're going to vet you for a little bit. Now, there's discernment in that to be a leader. I get that. But if they're professing salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, we should rejoice. In our small town, it's not every day, and not for lack of trying, trust me, that we don't see someone saved. We're not seeing people saved every single day. Are we? Hey, not for lack of trying. We try, we give the gospel, we verbally get it out, we share salvation by grace through faith with a person to either accept or reject. And many reject. Now, the time that person does get saved, and I get a phone call or a text or someone tells me about it, man, I am elated. I'm excited. That's awesome. The number one problem is taken care of. They're now born again. Man, how cool is that? You know the process it took? The process that it took to get to the person where they can go, oh, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for my sins, raising him 3 days later? Yeah, I believe that. I want that. You know what it took to actually get that there? It's amazing, the process. on Jesus, understanding that he was going to have to do that. Willingly, he says, I willingly give my life. On top of that, he says, I'm sent from the Father. Pretty cool, the unity there, right? Knowing that I'm going to, you know, tell the Jews I'm their Messiah, knowing I'm going to be rejected and beaten and slain, having his sins on me and the whole world, to raise, to deliver them from this present evil age, knowing that 50 days later, those who said crucify him are the ones that are going to go, what must we do to be saved in Acts chapter 2? And Peter now says in Acts chapter 2, now wait a minute, 50 days ago, you were the ones that said, hang on the cross, and now you want to know how to be saved? He says, believe in Jesus Christ. And 3,000 souls get saved. The same group that says, crucify him. 50 days later, get born again. Christ knew all that, and they rejoiced. They were added to the apostles, the 120 that were there. And more adding, more multiplying, more adding, more multiplying. You see, Paul right here is laying a foundation in chapter 1 on the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ to deliver us from this present evil age. He's nailing that down right now to now when he gives it to him in Galatians 2, which we'll get in the next week. I have the pedigree. I know what I'm talking about. Years and years I've been doing this. And I'm shocked that you're so easily swayed and moved away. Now, it's encouraging from my point of view that they're so willingly to learn, right? It's easier to guide someone when they're ping-ponging everywhere than to push them out the door and say, you gotta live for Jesus, man. Let's go. I'd rather have a wild person everywhere bleeding everything and going, okay, yeah, you want to learn? This is great. I can handle this. But you gotta get grounded on this. I can work with that. Then someone who goes, you know what? I'm not so sure about that. I don't know. We'll just wait and see. Now, I'm saying that not in discernment that they want to know, that they have wisdom, but that they don't want to live for the Christ that died for them. They don't want to experience that fullness we talked about on Tuesday night there in Colossians. They don't want to experience that. What a dangerous place to be. What a fearful thing to go. I see that I am born again. I see that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I see that Christ wants a relationship with me. I see how simple, not easy, but simple that is. But you know what? I'm not sure I want that. Because you have convinced yourself, or they have convinced themselves, on what might happen. Again, it's unknown. On what might happen that might negatively affect them. See, mankind does that. Mankind, in and of himself, wants to relieve tough life circumstances. They try and live a life and get a job and have a career that takes those tough things away. Right? They try to avoid them. Mankind tries to make things around them easier. And all it does is spoil us. We're seeing it in our country today. Holy smokes. 500 years, all it took to crush our nation. 500. You know how young we are? Because believers wanted it easy. I blame Christians. Believers wanted it easy. And in Scripture, it never says, Christ said, you know what? You're going to go through trials and tribulations. Don't ask for them to go away. That's what steadfastness is as the trials come, you're going to go through them and be encouraged by me. You're going to understand what it's like to be comforted. You need a trial to be comforted. You need to go through something to have peace. You got to be refined. And Paul's going to do a great job laying this out here in Galatians on, man, you had it all in Jesus. And now you want what didn't work. Isn't that funny? You want something that's proven not to work. What makes you think you can make it better to where it works? I digress. That's not it. The law was our schoolmaster to the Jews. Gentiles were never even under the law. Right? When they go to Acts 15, to the Jerusalem council there, they said, hey, the Gentiles are being saved, lives are being changed. here's what I'm preaching. Paul says, here's what I'm preaching. We'll get to that in chapter 2. Am I in line with what you guys want, Peter, James? Am I in line with what you guys want? This is what I'm telling people. And James stands up in Acts 15 and says, yes, they don't need the law. There's three things we're going to give them. That's it. The basics. In America today, let's, for ourselves, be mindful not to be so easily moved by a different gospel, which is not a gospel. Now, you might be saying yes to salvation by grace through faith, but are you living that out? It's not about saying yes to a statement. It's a belief. It's a way of life. I'm saying yes, and here's how it's changing me. Too many people that say they're Christians say yes to something written down on a paper or a verse. Yeah, I believe that. But is it changing you? No. Then what good is it? Like 1 Corinthians, if all we have right now is Christ, we are men most miserable. Let's let it change us. Paul's going to show us moving forward now how Christ can change them, but they got to go back to faith in Jesus Christ. He's going to do a good job on showing faith and law and legalism and grace. And help me out, guys. What else are we going to see here in Galatians? Flesh and spirit. Boom, I'm done. I'm tapped out. We're going to see that. We're going to see that. For my own self, I don't want to give in to an American gospel. But man, I'm saved. Things are going to be great. Life is good. I have my job, my career, and I'm going to retire, nice and wealthy. No problems. Good luck. You could actually achieve that if you wanted. But that isn't the fullness of what Christ has for us. That's not what he desires. We'll see that coming up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being good to us today. Thankful for Galatians chapter 1, the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, Paul is laying a foundation for the Galatians here, those cities, those local churches there, on faith in Christ. And I can't imagine how Paul feels that, how soon they're moved away by the gospel. Lord, sometimes I feel the same way here in America. People get saved, but then this make your life happy group comes in and they start living a different gospel, which is not a gospel. Lord, allow our hearts and minds to be focused and content with salvation in Jesus Christ, with his death and resurrection. Allow us to grow deep, like in Hebrews, what says that we can move on from salvation, but we have to have that as our foundation. Lord, again, thankful for our local group here. Thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that we'd walk out of your change in your image for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.